Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you because Jesus is life. Life that we so need today. Life that strengthens us, empowers us to do what is good. And so we ask that your Holy Spirit will once again speak to each one of us as we open your word, because we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I want to thank Brian for the children's story. Jesus has a plan. God has a plan. Grandmas always have a plan. Amen? They always have a plan. They know how to make their grandchildren's day. And today, as we think of the things that have happened in our country, the state of Connecticut, we fear of what could happen to us. We fear what could happen tomorrow. We fear what could happen next year. But the story that we find in Scripture, when Jesus came to this world, is a story that invites us not to be afraid. Not to be afraid. Do not be afraid. It was Caesar Augustus who commanded all the people in the inhabited world to do a census, to go back to their town of origin and to register for this census. He did not know that he was fulfilling prophecy. Jesus was to be born in what city, brothers and sisters? Bethlehem, in the city of David. Joseph and Mary were living at the time in the city of Nazareth. The city of Nazareth is 1,200 feet above sea level. The city of Bethlehem is 2,535 feet above sea level, twice as high as the city of Nazareth. And you can imagine having to travel uphill most of the time and having to walk or ride for at least 93 miles to reach your destination. It was no easy thing. There were others who were traveling with them along the way. But we know that Mary had a baby inside of her. She was pregnant. So I can imagine Joseph being extra careful with Mary. And he had to probably walk a little slower, be a little more patient. It was a time, a difficult time, not only politically or economically, but you had these two men, and we've heard of one of them a lot more than the other, Herod, who was ruling in Jerusalem. A tyrant, an evil man. And another one by the name of Quirinus. He was governor of Syria. And he wasn't good also. He wasn't good. Difficult times. But Mary and Joseph reached their destination, because it was part of God's plan. They arrived to this little town of Bethlehem. And when they went to look for a place to stay, there was no place for them. As I read that, I said, no place for who? For them. There was probably a place for others, but not for someone who was coming from Nazareth. Nothing good comes out of Nazareth. We don't know about you two, but There's no room for you. You're pregnant and you're about to give birth. Why don't you go to the other hotel, the other inn? But something that I find in this story is that Joseph and Mary were not worried because they knew God had a plan. It doesn't say that Joseph was like, "Whoa, what am I going to do now? Mary, what do we do?" They found a place. That's what the text tells us. And Mary had her baby. And they named him Jesus. And they clothed him with cloth. That's all they had. Wrapped him up. And they laid him in that manger so that he could rest, so that he could sleep securely. What a peaceful scene. Isn't that what parents do? Take care of their little ones? They were doing the best they could do as parents. They were. They looked for a place, secure place. In case it rained, no water would come in. They looked for clothes for that little child. And a place where he could sleep quietly, safely, during the days to come. They did their best as parents. At the same time, there were shepherds out in the field. I would like to invite you to go to the text that was nicely read by Tessa, found in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. And it describes what was happening at that time in the same region, where some shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch over what, brothers and sisters? Over their sheep, yes, over their flock. The shepherds were taking care of their sheep. Now, why do shepherds take care of sheep? Those of you who know about sheep, they can't take care of themselves. They're like babies. They wander off. They can't find a place to eat. They'll just stay in the same place until everything's gone. The shepherd has to move them along to another place. There are dangerous animals out there, so they protect them from those animals. And these shepherds were not only taking care of their sheep during the day, but during what? The night. Graveyard hours. Wow. Hard hours. They lost their sleep. They lost their comfort of their own home and bed because they were taking care of their sheep. They're watching over the flock. Isn't that something natural, brothers and sisters? Isn't that what we were made to do? To take care of one another? That's natural. That's why when we hear in the news what happens in a mall, what happens in a school, our hearts just goes, whoa, what's going on? This is not natural. This is evil. It goes against natural order, natural law. We're supposed to take care of little ones. A whale knows this. They say that a whale keeps her calf for a whole year. They bond together. I didn't know this, but the milk of the whale is like toothpaste. And that baby whale grows quickly. 100 hummingbird knows this. I was visiting my parents and coming back from school, and all of a sudden I'm going up to the door, and I see this hummingbird flying in front of me. And I'm going, whoa, this hummingbird is friendly. You know, it's not running away from me. What I didn't know is that behind me was this little bush, and on that little bush was this tiny, tiny little nest. Two little tiny hummingbirds. Two little chicks. And I was in the way. She was taking care of her little ones. Steps to Christ gives us this quote. The first page is there in the first chapter. Nature and revelation alike testify of God's love. Our Father in heaven is the source of life, of wisdom, and of joy. Look at the wonderful and beautiful things of nature. Think of their marvelous adaptation to the needs and happiness, not only of man, but of all living creatures. The sunshine and the rain that gladden and refresh the earth, the hills and the seas and plains, all speak to us of the Creator's love. It is God who supplies the daily needs of all his creatures. In the beautiful words of the psalmist, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thy hand and satisfieth the desire of every living thing. We see it in nature. And I can testify that I see it with each one of you. You take care of others. You do. I see it. I have that privilege of seeing it. That is what life is all about. Luke chapter 2 tells us what happened with these shepherds. Verse 9, and an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were what, brothers and sisters? Terribly frightened. Have you been in a situation like that where you've been terribly frightened? Maybe not because you encountered someone. Maybe of the unknown. What are we going to do now? Maybe of failure. There's no way I'm going to be able to make this happen. And I think all of us can relate somehow with this. I shared with first service, I shared that 2 years ago, I was invited to lead out in this church. And I can tell you, I was afraid. I was. I'd been a youth pastor for 10 years. I felt comfortable being a youth pastor. The responsibilities, the weight. But I thank God because he has a plan. He has a plan. And he wanted to share this plan with these shepherds. And this is what happened. They were terribly frightened. In verse 10, and the angel said to them, do not be what? Afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for some people, for all people. Great news for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you, who? A Savior. A Savior has been born who is Christ the Lord, who's the Messiah, the promised one. And this will be a sign for you. And I thank God because he doesn't only tell us he has a plan, but he tells us how we can achieve that plan. He says, I have a plan. I want to show it to you, shepherds. And this is the sign so that you won't have to wander around and figure out what is the plan. He showed them the plan. You will find what? A baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Three things. These are the characteristics of the Savior. Simple that even a child could understand, right? That was God's plan. The Messiah, Jesus, coming to this earth. And verse 13 tells us, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. The results of God's plan is peace for those who do his will. If we ask, where on earth can we find peace? Where? We can only find that with God. That's the only place we can find it, by doing his will. I'd always heard about this phrase, you know, in the Bible it says, fear not. Don't be afraid. And it's kind of easy to say it when things aren't happening to you, right? You're on this side of the fence and you're telling others, hey, don't worry. Whoa, I'm receiving all the pain here. What do you mean, don't worry? But I also found in this story what it means to be courageous, what it means to be strong. And this is what they did. Continue going in verse 13, and says, suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. And it came about when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. The shepherd said, change of plans. We're not staying here anymore. We need to move our flock down to Bethlehem. The Messiah, the Savior, has been born. We've heard this. We didn't know this, but now we do. What are we going to do? Let's follow. Let's obey. Let's do what God is telling us to do. That is what the Bible describes as not being afraid. Doing God's will. Now I want to show this with another story, found also in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1. And this time it's Joseph. This is before he went to Bethlehem. And Joseph was supposed to marry Mary. He was to take Mary in marriage. And the marriages back in the Middle East took, you know, quite a while to prepare. It took months. He wanted the whole family to be there. And then after, nice little time together, it would also take a few days to have this marriage. But before they got to the ceremony, before they had all their friends come, Mary was found with child. But this child was of the Holy Spirit. And this is where it continues in verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to do what? To disgrace her. Desire to put her away secretly. Joseph didn't want to embarrass Mary. Didn't want to say, Mary, you're pregnant already? Oh. So he said, let's stop the plan. Let's do our planning now. Let's change plans. For your convenience. He was doing it for her. But this is what verse 20 tells us. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not what? Do not be afraid. Fear not to take Mary as your wife. First thing, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will bear a son, and you, Joseph, shall call his name Jesus. For it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. I'm going to have you skip down to, just continue with verse 24. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as what? As the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Was Joseph courageous? Was he strong? Yes, he took Mary as his wife, and he gave Jesus the name he had. Do not be afraid to do what God is calling you to do. Do not be afraid. His plans are better than our plans. He knows the beginning, he knows the middle part of the plan, and he knows very well what the end will be like. And through this story, God invites us to put all of our trust in him. He invites us to do that. Let's go back to Luke chapter 2 and the shepherds. See what they experienced there. Luke chapter 2 and verse 16. Verse 16, and it says, and they came in haste and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. And when he had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told to them. The result was what, brothers and sisters? They glorified God. They praised God because God had shown them his plan. And they had to take a little bit of faith to go to this town of Bethlehem, find this place with a child wrapped in cloth, laying in a manger. They had to take that step of faith and believe that God keeps his promise. Believe that. That is what it means not to fear. You have to act. Fear is an emotion that is very powerful, and it's used today in many ways. We buy life insurance, yes, because we fear the accidents. We fear death. And it's such a strong emotion that most of the time, most of us who experience are frozen when we need to be acting. Did Joseph act? Joseph act. He took Mary as his wife. He named Jesus, just like the angel had told him. But I find something more compelling as to why we can follow God. And that is because of what Jesus Christ came to do for each one of us. He came to forgive us of our sins. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He is the God who cares. He cares. He cared so much that he came to this earth to give his life so that we could have eternal life. God cares is the message that comes out of Scripture. God cares is the message that comes out of his creation. And even though Satan is trying to make us believe the opposite, that he doesn't care, Scripture is very clear that he cares. And because he cares, I can trust him. I can follow him. I can do the things that he wants us to do. Paul put it in this way in Romans chapter 8, favorite passage of mine. Romans chapter 8, verse 31 through 37. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died. Yes, rather, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Just as it is written, for your sake, we are being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor heights, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Be not afraid. Fear not. God cares. So we can move with confidence into the new year. We can move with confidence into tomorrow. Because we have a God who cares, who loved us so much that he gave us his only begotten Son. He is the one source of all of our needs. He is. And he is inviting us all to trust him, to listen to him, to do what he's calling us to do. And I think as a church, we have a great opportunity to present a God who is love. We have a great opportunity to present a message that this world is coming to an end. The things that we're hearing about are not natural, are not normal. Jesus is coming again. And we're invited to share this good news with others. Amen.